Sands,
what's up, man?
What is up, my dude? How are you doing?
I cannot complain. Doing pretty well. How about yourself, Mr. Malone?
I am doing vape-tastic, my friend. It's been a wonderful day. It's been a wonderful week. It's been a wonderful year for the vape god.
Good to know, man. Good to know. Let's start by getting to know you a little bit. A little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Fletcher Malone. I am the hashtag Vape God. I am the leader of Vape Nation. I am a graduate of the WWA4 training facility down in Atlanta, Georgia, under A.R. Fox. One of the best wrestlers in the world, if not the best. Made my debut in July. I'm kind of a dick, but it's okay. It's okay. I like being a dick. It's fun. It's more fun than being nice.
Understand. Gotcha.
So, Sands, tell the people about you.
I have been a fan of WWE wrestling or WWF, whatever you want to call it. Old school, new school. Since 1997 and still watching it till this day.
God, you're old.
Anyway, on that subject of you, Fletcher Malone, first of all, let me just, you bringing up the WWA4, let me go ahead and promote the WWA4. Does have
shameless plug.
The WWA4 does have a New Year's show. It starts at 8 p.m. at 152 Selwig Drive, Southwest Atlanta.
Let's make sure these people know where to come watch.
Selwig Drive.
S-E-L-I-G.
30336, where you can see the Vape God Fletcher Malone take on Jack Cujo.
Jack Cujo's career will be over.
That is correct.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What he said, Jack Cujo will be putting his career on the line against Fletcher Malone. Fletcher, on the subject of...
Hold on. Sands, real quick. How are you going to bring up him putting his career on the line and not put my streak over? Come on, man. I'm 21-0 in singles competition. I have yet to be pinned, submitted, or defeated. Come on, man.
I do apologize. It is Fletcher Malone's undefeated streak going against a career in Jack Cujo. Once again, the show starts at 8 p.m. Admission is free. Be sure to go there. Enjoy every moment of it. It's a great show. I've been there twice. It's awesome.
It is also BYOB. Just be respectful and to an extent and be responsible. That's all we're saying.
BYOB as in bring your own beer, correct?
BYOB as in bring your own bag.
Oh, bring your own bag.
Air quotes.
All right, going on the subject into wrestling, let's talk about NXT. Number one contender for Shayna Baszler's title being Bianca Belair. What are your thoughts on that?
She's the EST. She is the EST, and she, like the Vape God, is undefeated. Oh my God, I love Bianca Belair. I saw her in the Mae Young, and first match, she pulled out this sick ass 450, and I was just like, "Yep, that's my girl."
And do you think Bianca Belair will overcome Shayna Baszler, take the title, resulting in maybe possibly Shayna Baszler getting called up after Mania?
I don't know because they're already making call-ups. You know, Vince announced another big announcement in January. We already got the announcement of the women's tag titles, and we'll get to that. Believe me, we will get to that. I'm excited for that one. But, excuse me, they are going to need more women on the main roster, especially if the rumors are true, and they're going to do tag belts for both shows. They don't have a lot of women on the main roster. It's going to be hard to do that. So it's very possible that Bianca Belair continues to be undefeated. Very possible.
For people who did not watch NXT on Wednesday, it was the final episode of NXT of 2018. We brought in two high-stake matches. One of them was the right to challenge Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship at TakeOver.
Oh, can we talk about the second one? Can we talk Phoenix. About the second one? Oh, my God.
Give me
God.
Just a second. It was up for grabs as Lo, how do you pronounce her? Lo Shirai, Mia Yim, Lacey Evans, and Bianca Belair battled in a fatal four-way match, which resulted and Bianca Belair taking that win and competing against Shayna Baszler. Later on that evening, Heavy Machinery looked to put an exclamation point on its newsworthy December as a duo challenged for the NXT Tag Team Championship, locking horns with Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong of the Undisputed Era. Unfortunately, they did not overcome. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, real quick, when did you become on WWE's payroll, bro? Because you just read that off a typewriter. Come on, man.
I was actually taking notes before we started. This,
yeah, so. Okay. Yeah, straight from WWE.com.
No, I kid you not. It's not.
But anyway.
I've taken notes all week, Fletcher Malone, okay?
Okay. All right. We'll see.
What are your thoughts, though, on the tag team match?
First off, let me just say Undisputed is – they're Undisputed. They're my favorite stable on either roster right now, whether it's NXT, SmackDown, it doesn't matter. Like, they are the bomb. Okay. So, remind me again. It was Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, those two together – like, Kyle O'Reilly himself is just – he's the biggest – character, non-character I've ever seen, and it's amazing. Like, the air guitar, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's wonderful. But the match is amazing. It was a good back and forth. Like, I don't remember a lot of details, to be honest with you, because it's been a hell of a weekend. But overall, I do remember it being a very good match. Yeah.
Okay, did you now, Wednesday, did you get the opportunity to see Riker defeat, I guess, Taverna, I guess his name is.
See, the Forgotten Sons, I'm going to be 100% honest. I wasn't watching when a lot of those guys were kind of pushed aside. So I'm just now getting reintroduced to them. And
I'm not a fan of them. The Forgotten Sons feel like Sanity minus the hype.
It's Sanity minus the insanity.
They've done nothing, in my opinion, they've done nothing to get the people, the fans like me, invested in their gimmick.
Exactly.
So that's the way I see it. Most of their matches since they've been on NXT have been squash matches. So nothing really. Honestly, that was one I probably fast-forwarded.
Probably, just, yeah. Now, just to be honest. While we're on the subject of squash matches, now... Again, another shameless plug for the A4, but my boy Aaron Mackey, a.k.a. AC Mac, was on NXT last week. He made his official WWE debut, and I could not be prouder of the guy. He is – I love Mac. Mac is the bomb. He made his debut against another debuting dominant, Dijakovic, I believe is how it's pronounced. Dijakovic.
Oh, that guy is beast.
He's impressive. He's impressive. I remember him when he was coming up on the Indies. He was working with Ring of Honor and stuff. And he's one to watch out for, that's for sure.
All right, off the subject of NXT, then let's go to...
Hold on. We can't leave NXT without talking about the main event. Are you kidding? That cage match, bro? Bro, we have to... Can we talk about this cage match, please? Please.
That was last week's, but we could talk about the last week's match.
It was last week's, but it's okay. I'm excited for it, you know?
Do you see DIY? That was last
week's, yeah.
No, yeah, but do you see DIY coming back as a heel tag team, or do you think it was all just hype?
I think they're going to tease at it, and I think eventually people are going to want to see it, and then they will eventually turn back face. Because you get to a point where you're so over as a heel that people just start to like you. Like, people just start to cheer for you. Like, when Kevin Owens was at the top of his heel game at, like, you know, late 2016, they hated him, but they loved him at the same time. Dream. Velveteen Dream. He's booked as a heel 90% of the time, but people go bananas for the guy because he's so good. You can't hate him.
Vince McMahon needs to just hurry up and call him up.
I don't want to see the main roster ruin him.
And in my opinion, it seems like everybody that goes to Raw has been that's been called up to Raw has been ruined. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but look at, for example, what's that guy from SmackDown who was on 205?
Mustafa. Oh my God.
Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali was on 205. Now he's on SmackDown and already defeated Daniel Bryan. Already defeated.
defeated Daniel Bryan by putting a knee into his throat. That was, oh my God, dude. I was watching that on Hulu and I was just, ow. No.
A win's a win. Before we jump over to SmackDown though, let's start with the what people like to call the A show. In my opinion, it is the B show.
Let's refer to it as the flagship show because it has always been and will always be the flagship show. Whether or not it's the A show is yet to be determined with these changes, which I, for one, am pretty happy with so far.
All right, so let's talk about the flagship show before we start talking about the call-ups. Monday Night Raw was recorded Christmas Eve.
For the first time in years, by the way.
Elias was set to fight Bobby Lashley in a Miracle on 34th Street fight.
Oh my God, WWE broke out Legos. Drew McIntyre
would finally get a chance at revenge in a triple threat against two of the men who have recently pinned him, Finn Balor and Dolph Ziggler. Let's start with Bobby Lashley and Elias. In my opinion, that was a joke.
It was a joke, but it was a gimmick match because it was Christmas Eve. Okay, they do it every holiday, Thanksgiving. They have the Thanksgiving food feast fight, whatever thing with New Day in the bar. Like, they had Vince McMahon-ta-Claus. Can I tell you how much I popped on Vince McMahon-ta-Claus? Oh, my God. But it's a joke, but it was entertaining. And they broke out Legos, okay? I cannot explain enough.
Hearing the fans cheering, "We want Legos,"
was great. Oh my God,
it was pretty priceless.
Like, I personally have never taken a Lego bump. I have so much respect for people who are willing to do it.
I want to get on the subject of Drew McIntyre, who's looking like 2019. 2019, in my opinion, is going to be his year.
It's going to be Strowman McIntyre Mania. For the universe,
you think so?
Yes.
I honestly, if we're making an early prediction for Mania, I'm going to take Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar.
I think Lesnar's dropping the belt to Strowman at Rumble.
I don't think that'll happen.
I think it's going to, because whereas if Brock brings that Universal Title belt into the UFC Octagon and wins, that publicity is going to be ridiculous.
Man, the way I see it is that with the UFC and Tap Out partnering with WWE, to have that belt around Brock Lesnar's waist is only going to bring in more money. And for him to take that belt and carry a WWE title belt,
unless he gets his ass handed to him.
When he brings that WWE title belt to the UFC and promotes a different show, it's going to bring more fans to WWE.
But if he loses, whatever legitimacy WWE has built up is gone. In an instant, it is gone. Because this UFC fighter who went to come quote-unquote fake wrestle, which by the word, I hate the word fake, but anyway, and then went back to UFC in a quote-unquote real fight and gets his ass handed to him, the business is done.
WWE is also bringing in stars like Matt Riddle, which he was at one point
in
MMA. Yeah, which was at one point an MMA fighter, which, like I said, bringing that WWE title to a UFC pay-per-view and just getting a camera shot at it.
It's a risk-reward thing, though. It's how much faith do they have in Brock Lesnar to actually win the fight?
Okay, going back to on the subject of Monday Night Raw and away from Brock Lesnar, the Raw Tag Team Championships, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus The Revival.
Thank God they gave The Revival some kind of push because they are one of the best tag teams in the world and they have been so underbooked, it's not even funny.
I definitely agree with that. In my opinion, the Revival is... I wasn't a fan of them in NXT. But I'm also not a fan of Rude and Chad Gable.
See, I won't say I'm not a fan of them, but I'm not very invested in them. I'm not very invested in the Raw Tag Team division at all because it's garbage.
Well, I am calling it now. I'm calling it now. It is going to be Bobby Roode versus Chad Gable in a WrestleMania pre-show match.
Who turns heel?
It's going to be Bobby Roode.
If you watch
Bobby Roode in TNA when he was with Beer Money,
did you watch him in NXT when he was a heel? Oh my god! Great,
he's an awesome heel.
He's amazing. Like I would love to see that. If they can build that story up enough, honestly, I can see that being on the main card.
All right, a match that I don't really care two shits about, but going to the subject of it, Sasha Banks, Bayley. And Ember Moon versus Mickie James, Alicia Fox, and Dana Brooke. Something tells me that Bayley and Sasha Banks are going to be the ones carrying the women's championship titles into WrestleMania, and they will be competing against Lita and Trish Stratus.
If it's anything like that, it's gonna be Riot Squad Sasha Bayley. If they do one set of belts, if they do two sets of belts, which I do not think is going to work. It's going to be Sasha and Bayley on Raw. Maybe taking on Trish and Lita. That would make sense. Bringing back the legends for it. Yeah, I can see that. And then Riot Squad versus... yeah. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville? Naomi and Asuka, if Asuka doesn't have the belt anymore? I can see that one. If Asuka drops the belt, I can see it being Naomi and Asuka versus Riot Squad.
I don't think so. I think Sasha and Bayley are going to be the first ones to hold it. Hold those belts. Rhino came back. If anybody cares, anybody on the podcast that's listening really cares about Rhino.
Well, I have Hulu. And I didn't watch it live because I was at training, or I was at Christmas. I was one of the two. I was either with family or training, but I didn't see that, so I didn't know Rhino came back.
Yes, Rhino came back dressed as Santa Claus, and Heath Slater defeated Jinder Mahal by disqualification. Pointless match. With Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, and Heath Slater. I can see the three-man coming back together soon.
The three-man band is never coming back together. Don't get your hopes up.
I call it right now, 2019 3MB.
No. Can I get a hell no?
Imagine what that would Drew do to McIntyre's career. Crappy, in my opinion, such a crappy main event. Seth Rollins taking on Baron Corbin. Sorry.
Oh my god, Botch Corbin.
In my opinion, and I took notes on this. Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin already had their matches. It was just a repeat, like a rematch, something you see every week. Yeah, it felt like it was unnecessary. And it should have had been the
Christmas
main event.
Eve episode.
But I think the main event should have been Natalya and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and that match was honestly really good. Like I was really impressed with that match. Ronda Rousey has blown me away since WrestleMania.
Oh, for sure.
Like she's been in the business less than a year. She's been training. She trained for like 1 year before she debuted. Okay, she's been wrestling as long as I have, and she's this good. She's able to carry this division on her back and do it successfully and excel. It's incredible.
Like I said, that should have been the main event. All right, jumping out of Raw, we talked about NXT. Let's talk about, in my opinion, the A show.
The A show?
The A show. Friday Night SmackDown.
Friday Night SmackDown. Bro, are we in 2008? It's Tuesday.
It was the final SmackDown Live of 2018 with, and it brought with the continuation of the rivalry between Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe and the United States Championship defense by Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that.
Hardy and Joe met in one-on-one while the artist defended his title against number one contender Rusev, who sought revenge after a sneak attack a few weeks ago, left him lying. First, let's talk about the Usos, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson versus Sanity and the Bar.
First time... I'm sorry, last week was the first time, but... Sorry. Gallows and Anderson were on TV since August, correct? Or was that this week?
That was this week. A week ago, because like I said, I took notes on this too. It was a week ago. Eric Young, Killian Dane, and Alexander Wolf returned, and they joined the Bar in an attack for the going against the Usos with a Santa-clad Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods, which I'm not a fan of the New Day. Watching from the commentary.
Oh my god, I love New Day commentary.
Two teams waged in war in an 8-man tag team match. The future of the tag team division was hinted as late as Anderson and Gallows caught Cesaro and delivered the magic killer to score the win. Now, do you think that this is possibly a push for Anderson and Gallows, or do you think this is a push for Sanity?
I hope that it's a push for Gallows and Anderson because God knows those men deserve it. Okay, not only are they doing the full-time schedule. They may not have been on TV, but they're still working the full-time schedule. They're still there every night. But they also find time to show up at their school in Atlanta and train.
Yeah, and given how poorly they have been utilized over this year, it is good to see the Good Brothers back in contention for tag team or even be on TV.
Hell yeah, brother.
So, in my opinion, I do – I agree with that as well. All right, Daniel Bryan.
New Daniel Bryan. Make
coming
sure you get
out
that right.
And interrupting R-Truth.
Oh, I love R-Truth. He's great.
You know, I was talking before we started this podcast. I was talking to you about the whole R-Truth and Carmella winning number 30, and you think R-Truth is going to be dumb enough to come in as a woman or come in at number 30 at the women's.
He was trying to get women's championship matches against Carmella. Yes, this man is going to show up at number 30 if the women's rumble is first. Okay? If the women's rumble main events the show, which, in all fairness, I think it should, it's going to be both him and Carmella come out at the same time, look at each other. Carmella's going to laugh and be like, Truth, what the fuck? What the hell are you doing? I need to watch my language. I apologize about that.
You're good.
What the hell are you doing, Truth? I thought I was number 30. 80 sitcom laugh moment.
Well, it was, in my opinion, with him coming out and interrupting R-Truth and basically putting him down, calling the fans fickle. It was good Christmas fun, but it was ruined by somebody like Daniel Bryan, which kind of makes him like the Grinch.
That's so, the whole point. He's doing his job.
So considering the holiday themed episode, there was a real,
Grinch story.
Yeah, exactly. Get the best of the Grinch of a champion. That does make sense. Now, One of the most entertaining and effective characters on TV right now is Daniel Bryan. It's actually been proven. He carried the segment and so did in a way that strengthens his persona. So anyway,
talk about
right.
The fickle chant real quick because
I'm sorry. I Daniel Bryan to me is
perfect.
I don't like him.
That is the point.
No, like I don't like him as a I didn't even like him as a face.
Oh, then you're one of the 1%, man. Because Daniel Bryan is amazing. Like,
top
this
one,
is some
top
of the best
1%,
character work
baby.
I've ever
top
seen.
1%.
Shut up. You are not EC3. You are far from. Okay.
Anyway. All right. Mustafa Ali versus Andrade Cien Almas. Selena Vega.
Zelina Vega is she's showing why managers matter.
Aleister Black got married to Zelina Vega. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I heard about that, and that threw me off. Because last I was told, he was still dating Isla Dawn. And I was like, okay, so I'm over a year behind, apparently.
Anyway, Mustafa Ali did challenge Andrés y Almas. Like we were talking about before, a week ago, he scored the biggest pin, pinning Daniel Bryan in a tag team match.
I can see him getting a shot at the WWE title very soon. I don't see him winning it, but I can see him getting a title and that being an absolute fantastic match.
So at this moment, would you rather see Mustafa Ali getting pushed more, or would you rather have Andrés y Almas? He kind of reminds me of like an Alberto Del Rio, but
better.
Yes, a lot better. Sorry, a lot better. Dream match. I do want to see, and I'm hoping to see it, Rey Mysterio and Kalisto. Or I would love to see a match like that.
See, from what I understand, they are saving Mysterio's booking for right now because they're wanting to bring in Penta El Cerro and Phoenix and start a new LWO. That is what I've heard.
Heard. I hear you on that. Continue.
That would be some of the best babyface work ever. Like, because they could do an LWO and be babyfaces because of who they are. Phoenix is just like Mysterio. I know you don't watch a lot of independent wrestlers, but Rey Fénix is like Grand Metalik is named King of the Ropes. I honestly think that Phoenix is the King of the Ropes, man, because this dude does some absolutely mind-boggling stuff, and he's like the epitome of babyface, like Rey Mysterio is. And Penta is just like, it doesn't matter if he's booked as a heel or face, he's gonna make people love him.
Going into the defense for Andrés y Almas, I was a fan of him in NXT, and I was watching him. You know, he is a former NXT champion, and as talented as he is, his matches with Gargano, Drew McIntyre, and Aleister Black over the last year
were awesome.
Yes, they are proof.
I literally just watched
that he's horribly mismanaged and underutilized, as he's been in the recent months in an indictment of a SmackDown writing team. In my opinion, the SmackDown writing team sucks.
They're better than Raw, though. They're better than Raw. Because if Andrade was on Raw, he wouldn't even be on TV.
Well, if
Zack Ryder doesn't appear Monday, that man has not been on Raw all year.
Oh, let's not just one hope time. That, Almas and Zelina Vega have earned a more prominent role. They do deserve it through their work that they have put in
very
together.
Much so.
So hopefully the new year brings that for them, brings them more. Maybe a U.S. title, U.S. championship with Rusev versus Almas, going over.
Speaking of the U.S. title, what a segue. Can we talk about Shinsuke Rusev, please?
No, we're not on that subject quite yet. Right now, let's talk about The Miz. Miz TV that has Shane McMahon.
This was so weird.
Before we start this, let me start that since Crown Jewel, The Miz suffered a knee injury.
Quote-unquote. Quote-unquote knee injury
that necessitated Shane McMahon taking his place in the World Cup Tournament Finals, defeating Dolph Ziggler to earn Best in the World recognition. The Hollywood A-lister had done everything in his power to convince Shane O'Mac to become his tag team partner. It was a week ago that he tried to impress Vince McMahon enough to make the team a reality, teaming with Mandy Rose to defeat R-Truth and Carmella. Though it wasn't enough,
after
Tuesday, The Miz hosted a special edition of Miz TV with the object of his attention. So let's talk about that.
He proposed to him.
That was really uncomfortable for me.
It should make you uncomfortable first and foremost, but that's a different story for a different day. But he proposed to him after the previous week asking Mr. McMahon for his blessing. Okay, and can we mention that the entire McMahon family is sharing a locker room?
Like I said,
God damn it, pal.
I was very uncomfortable with the way that was going.
You shouldn't be, but that again, that's a different story for a different day. Like, I thought it was hilarious. It was weird, but it was hilarious.
Okay, so I mean, is that you have no notes, nothing to talk about when it comes to Miz TV and Shane McMahon? Are you ready for me to get to this?
I mean, I am ready, but I'm interested to see this Miz Shane McMahon tag team. I don't know how well it's going to work. I'm picturing their tag team finish as a coast-to-coast into a skull-crushing finale.
Okay. going back to that and, you know, talking about that. The Miz is so good that the idea of being saddled with Shane throughout to build WrestleMania, because they're building WrestleMania.
I can see a face Miz heel Shane McMahon.
Yeah, it appears to be a match. It appears that a match is going to be going between them. For whatever reason, though, McMahon is always booked stronger than everyone else, and even in defeat.
It's always Survivor Series to Mania season. After that, he's never around.
Ultimately emerges the winner thanks to some breathtaking bumps.
No, I think they put Miz over. If they turn face Miz against heel, they put face Miz over to get his baby face pop.
Booking him in a program with the Miz, in my opinion, where he will shine at the Hollywood A-listers' expense, is a poor decision, in my opinion, and one that will only hurt the most consistent heel in WWE in the long run. The Miz is freaking awesome.
Great. He's great. I have been inspired by him a lot of times in my matches.
I love the Miz as a heel. I can't see him going face. I really don't want to.
This goes back to the whole being over as a heel so much that they love you.
I do like him being the asshole heel. Like,
but he could still be the asshole baby face.
Yeah, me and my wife, we watch SmackDown, and every time she sees The Miz, she'll say straight up, "That guy is an ass." And I just look, and I'm like, yes, that's what he does. Exactly. That's how you know that he is portraying a good character. He's accomplished so much, too. I would love to see him hold the WWE Championship someday.
I was going to say a couple months ago that it was going to end up being Brian Miz, but then they kind of quick played that one and shut that down real quick, and I was kind of disappointed.
All right, changing the subject, going on to, unless you have any more notes in regards to the Miz and Shane McMahon.
I am okay. This match, oh my God.
No, we need to go to Jeff Hardy versus Samoa Joe.
Killing me, Sans.
Sorry, Samoa Joe continued his trend of playing mind games with WWE's most popular stars of 2018, targeting Jeff Hardy as of late. He brought up his drug past, his skeletons in the closet, his alcohol problem.
Can I say that Samoa Joe is one of the best heels in the world?
Yes, I agree.
He's being a dick, but he's also portraying a positive message.
I agree.
Like the bar promo. Oh my God, it was perfection. Like, drink responsibly, kids. I'm drinking a pint. Like, it's, oh my God. It was beautiful.
I don't like how they're burying Joe.
I think they're burying him, honestly.
I'm hoping that he's another guy I hope gets the belt. Any belt. I don't care what they give him. Just anything. He's a great heel.
I can see him going back to Raw in a superstar shakeup.
I can see him and Jeff Hardy meeting at the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And Samoa Joe is going to be the one to eliminate Jeff Hardy. And it'll be the last four. And he's going to blow it for him.
Okay, I can see that.
All right. We'll just blow by that since... yeah, that wasn't really the big thing that happened.
No, it wasn't.
We'll end it with Samoa Joe is a superstar who will sink to any debt to play mind games with anybody, only to fail, unfortunately, when the fight hits the wrestling ring.
It's which a Samoan
sucks,
curse.
Which it's sucks really curse. Bad. It's been nice for him. While it's been nice for him to build heat in the manner, he is also over in the last 6 months, it's not been going good for him.
Nah, his win-loss record isn't good.
No.
By any means.
I have to look up some research on his win-loss record.
But it's not good. It's but not how the Falcons
his, is going. His rivalry with Jeff Hardy, it was a nice, you know, little taste of things to come. Hopefully the Superstars build on it and creative delivers some kind of satisfactory conclusion to that match. Something's got to freaking give. I want to see some crazy Jeff Hardy shit, man. Like some crazy shit.
I want to see Brother Nero be brought out. They own the broken rights now.
Yeah, I heard. I heard about that.
Like, I want to see Brother Nero come out because Samoa Joe messes Jeff Hardy up so bad that he breaks. Like, he's almost there. He's got the face paint. He's halfway there. He's just got to, like Matt Hardy did. He's just got to have someone break him.
All right, now, last subject. United States Championship match. Rusev versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Rusev!
Over the last year, Rusev has seen his Rusev Day gimmick explode in popularity. He has turned from heel to babyface, riding a wave of fandom, which the likes of Revealed, the most prominent stars in the company's past summer. While he's cooled significantly over the fall, he remained just popular enough to earn the United States Championship program with Shinsuke Nakamura. Your thoughts?
My thoughts? Damn it, it's been long enough. Rusev Day finally happened on Christmas. I was so happy, dude. I was so happy. Oh my God.
We have. I think the fans have waited for creative to actually do something.
And what a Christmas present to everybody.
Oh, exactly.
Everyone gets a Rusev Day for Christmas.
I do like Rusev better as a heel than I do in a face. I do believe that Aiden English put over Rusev as a face.
He did. Very much yet, so.
Aiden English has not gotten any publicity since his short skit rivalry.
Yeah.
I would love to see Aiden English in 205 Live. Because if
that would be excellent, I would love to see him go against Gallagher. That would
I would love, like I said, I would love to see him in 205 Live because maybe they can do something with him there. And in my opinion, I do see this program going somewhere between Shinsuke and Rusev, and I think that fans were getting tired of Shinsuke being the U.S. champion.
Because he was like Brock, he would cut promos. He just wouldn't have matches. But I think we finally got to see the heel Shinsuke that we've been wanting to see for a while in this match. I was blown away, bro. Like, this match was great. It was awesome. To quote The Miz.
Anyway, is there anything else that you want to add before we end our first episode podcast?
Well, it is New Year's Eve almost. Let's go over some 5 best moments / memories that you remember from 2018. 5-1.
Oh, man. Okay, one of them would have to be D-Generation X versus Brothers of Destruction.
Can you tell me why, other than pure nostalgia?
Dude, I'm a 90s baby.
So pure nostalgia, okay.
No, man, when I heard that they were getting back together and they were fighting DX, I had chill bombs. I was like, all right, this is going to be awesome. And then I saw HBK with his bald head, and I was like,
bro, I laughed. I literally laughed out loud. I was like,
what the fuck is this?
Hey, whoa, I'm sorry. Family. Yo. You're right, but
I hated how it ended. I don't think it should have ended with DX being on top. I wasn't really that much of a fan of D-Generation X in the past.
How were you not? How many times did you get suspended for saying suck it?
I've gotten detention for saying...
Same thing. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you were a fan.
That would probably be my number 5.
Okay.
Maybe DX and I would say another one. My number four would probably be going to the NXT with Tommaso Ciampa taking the NXT title.
Off of Aleister? Okay.
Yeah, he is an awesome heel.
He is the ultimate heel right now.
You know that he took himself out of 2K19 because he said,
"These people don't deserve to play as me."
Yeah, and then he said that he never loses and that he refuses to lose in a video game. Yo, that is some heel shit right there.
Like, Tommaso Ciampa is hashtag heel goals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Man, I hate to say this. My number three would be John Cena and Undertaker WrestleMania.
Why?
It pissed me off just because of, and I think you were, here when
I was with you. Yeah,
you saw the anger in my. I wanted to shut the TV off.
That's why I'm so confused that that's your number three moment.
Only because I was looking forward to that match since 2002. I've been wanting to see John Cena and Undertaker go at it, and the reason why I put it at my number three is because
you want to see it happen again.
Yes, and it will. WrestleMania 35, John Cena will take down The Undertaker.
Oh, my God.
And if not John Cena, it will be Kane. You know what? Before we get off, before we continue, ladies and gentlemen, I have to bring this up. Fletcher Malone thinks that The Undertaker will go to WrestleMania 35 and The Undertaker will lose to none other than Kurt.
Oh, and 249 right now. Oh, it's going to happen, baby. They're going to build it up to 0-299. It's going to be for the 300th loss in a row. He's going to go in. He's going to hook the arm. He's going to roll him up real tight. He's going to grapevine the legs, brother. And he's going to hold him down to the mat. 1, 2, 3. Oh, Paul. Smackage vintage style, baby. Oh, yeah, hey, brother.
So, yeah. Fletcher Malone. Like I said, Fletcher Malone thinks Kurt Hawkins will fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania 35. In my opinion, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'm pretty sure whoever decides to view or listen to this will think the same thing. It's just like football, man. I mean, and I'm a Patriots fan, but, you know, we're not even supposed to be talking about football, but I'm going to bring this up. It's like, for example, it's like Tom Brady. If Tom Brady lost to a rookie quarterback, or to somebody like Baker Mayfield, who are the Browns.
Who, by the way, did great this year.
Oh, they did great this year. But if they played at 0-1, if the Patriots played an 0-14 team and then lost, a bunch of fans are going to burn that Brady jersey like it's nothing. Now, what do you think is going to happen if Kurt Hawkins beats The Undertaker at his last WrestleMania? No way in hell.
Okay, keep in mind the Taker is always going to come back for WrestleMania until the day.
No way. No way. No way. No way.
Vince won't not let him.
This is his last year. I have a feeling this is his last year.
What better way to be retired than by the small package Paul Smackage style, brother?
And in my take on that match is going to be, I think it's going to be Kane and Undertaker. Kane's going to let his brother rest in peace. The Druids are going to come out, carry Undertaker in a casket. And that's how I would book it.
Well, if you want to think inside the box, brother, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I don't think Kurt Hawkins is. okay, going back to my top. That was my number three. My number two, definitely Braun Strowman taking the tag team titles with some random kid.
Oh my God. So that kid is like, he's one of the producer's kids.
Do you remember who they thought was going to be his partner? Then they say like everybody thought it was going to be Rey Mysterio or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turned out to be some kid.
Some kid in the audience.
That was good.
That everybody, every wrestling fan knows. You just be like, "Hey, did you see Nicholas?" "Oh, yeah, I know who Nicholas is."
My number one, The Rock not showing up at all to any WWE event in 2018, which is good.
I'm so upset with you right now. I'll get into it later.
Which is good because The Rock is overrated. It would bury all of the roster. And in my opinion, we don't need no part-timers in WWE. If you're going to be committed and you're going to sign a contract where you're going to work, bust your ass for 300 days a year, like Brock Lesnar, my boy.
What?
I'm a fan of Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm regretting doing this now.
I'm a Brock Lesnar guy.
Oh, my Lord.
But think about it like this. With Brock Lesnar, with Brock Lesnar being gone with the Universal title, it makes the Intercontinental title more prestigious. And
yes,
it
does. But people want to see the main title defended. They don't want to forget that we have a Universal Championship.
I suppose. All right, your top five. Top five moments of WWE.
Top five moments. Okay, let's see. Honestly, number five, Asuka winning the Royal Rumble. Because at that moment, I knew it was going to be Asuka Charlotte, and I was instantly hooked on that match. Like, didn't need any second thoughts, nothing. Like, oh, yep, I'm watching WrestleMania strictly for that. Yep. Right. Number four. This is hard. I know my number one, but I'm going to save that one because it's my favorite. Number four. Probably the whole rivalry between Gargano and Ciampa, because the three takeover matches that they put on were just absolutely incredible. Like, as a wrestler, it made me uncomfortable to watch the street fight and the unsanctioned match. It made me uncomfortable as a worker. That is awesome. That is awesome. Hands down. Number three. Let's jump down to NXT and honestly, Matt Riddle being signed. Matt Riddle made like that takeover debut that he had against Cassius Ohno, that big boom, one big jump in knee right in the face, 6 second pin. You're like, oh my God. Because that was literally planned 5 minutes before the show started. And it was a pop. Oh my God, it was amazing. So that was number three, correct?
Correct.
Number two. I will have to say Shawn Michaels returning simply because nobody thought it would ever happen.
That's a good one.
And number one, my favorite moment of the year for multiple reasons. It crossed platforms, okay? It brought just general entertainment eyes on WWE, and it happened in one of the worst countries in the world, Saudi Arabia, Titus World Slide. Oh my God, dude. He's 6'8". He slid entirely up under the ring, bro. Like,
just imagine if an LED board was there.
Yeah, but it wasn't. And he didn't hit the beams, so it's okay. And it's hilarious. Like, if you go back and listen to Corey Graves' commentary, you can hear him stop talking because he saw what happened. And then as soon as he sees Titus moving, he just dies. For like a solid 3.5 minutes, this man is just laughing on commentary because of what just happened.
I gotta kind of agree that laugh was pretty good. I love Corey Graves as a commentator.
Corey Graves is amazing. Like, it sucks that he couldn't like continue to compete in the ring, but I never got to see him compete in the ring. So I never became a fan of him as a wrestler. I've always been a fan of him as a commentator. Always. He's wonderful. Did you see that video that's going around social media right now of what happened when Titus slid under the ring? It shows him like sliding under and he pops his head up. He's like, "Hey, Swoggle down here?" And then it's like, "No, we're just eating pancakes." And it's like, oh, wow. Luke Gallows Xavier Woods and Carl Anderson for some reason. Like, but it's, you gotta find that, man. Oh Lord, you gotta find that. That one's funny.
All right, I think we are done for the day.
Yeah, man, that should wrap us up.
Before we do call it quits, I do want to bring it up again. Do everybody take time to, you know, show some support for your independent wrestlers around, you know, whatever state you're listening to this from. They do bust their ass. I'm a fan of one of them. And they do got a lot to show. Also, remember that WWA4, once again, I will say this again, WWA4 is having a show at 152. Say it again, Grant. Or Fletcher.
My name is not Grant. My name is Fletcher. Who is Grant?
152.
Selig. S-E-L-I-G Drive.
Okay. The show starts at 8 p.m. at 152 Selig Drive, Southwest Atlanta, 30336. Some of the hottest independent talent will be out there. Show starts at 8 p.m.
This talent is literally taking over the country in independent wrestling right now. It is going to be one of the hottest shows of the year, and it's only day one.
And make sure you stay there for Fletcher Malone's undefeated streak versus Jack Cujo's career.
I think you make sure you stay to watch me end Cujo's career, I think is what you're talking about.
I guess we'll see what happens. All right, ladies, gentlemen, wrestling fans, boys, girls, whoever you are, wherever you are, that's it for this week. Happy New Year. We will get back. We will definitely be back next Sunday to talk to you more about Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and the independent scene, and give you the WWA4 results for the New Year's show as well. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year, and have a great night. Thanks, Fletcher, for joining me.
No problem, man. Have a good one. Happy New Year from the Vape God, y'all.